As I mentioned earlier, Gordon expressed in his will, I don't want a eulogy, and I had, it seemed almost every week I would talk to him about it and what I was going to say, and I said to him, Gordon, there's no way anyone will give you a eulogy, we're going to tell the truth. So let me tell you the truth about Gordon Booth. Gordon Booth was a sinner. Indeed, had you asked Gordon, he would say he was a sinner. Indeed, if you pressed him, Gordon would say, I am the greatest sinner that I know. And I have to tell you the truth about myself too. Every time I look at myself in the mirror in the mornings, I say to myself, that is the greatest sinner that I know. Gordon sinned against God. Gordon offended God. Gordon had a conscience, and his conscience told him that he had offended God. All of us have conscience, and our consciences accuse us, and they tell us when we've done something wrong. And that is a way in which God tells us that we have done something wrong, and that we are not right with him, and we are not ready to meet God at the judgment. Some people try and get round this by saying, oh, there is no God. Solves the problem. Solves nothing at all, because if there is no God, there are no morals. There is no right, there is no wrong. When we die, if you believe that's it, well, what does it matter how you live in the here and now? Atheism is irrational and illogical. But people who say they're atheists get very upset and they say, no, there is such a thing as right and wrong. There is such a thing as justice. Not if there's no God. It's meaningless. The very fact that people believe in these things shows they really do know that God exists. They just don't like to admit it. And they don't like the thought that they are responsible to God. They do not like the thought that one day they are going to stand before God and give an account of what they have done with their lives. Gordon has now gone to face God. And Gordon will have to give an account for his life and all the things that we know about and the things we don't know about him. Except Gordon is accepted by God. Gordon has been received by God with open arms into heaven, into eternal glory. Gordon is not just now at peace with the body resting. Gordon is looking forward to the judgment. He's looking forward to the judgment. He's looking forward to being examined by God, and God's light shone into every single nook and cranny of his being. All the things that you and I never knew about him because they were internal, God knows, and God will examine them. But God will still receive him and accept him. Is it because Gordon was religious? Is it because he was good? No, there's lots of religious people in the world. They will not be accepted by God. There is the idea that religious people are hypocrites, that they are people who look down on others and condemn others. Well, such people are not Christians. They are not people who know God. They do not know the forgiveness of God. Because it's not what we do that makes us right with God. Gordon always kept saying, Christianity is not a religion of do. It's a religion of done. It's not a religion of what we do, being our best, trying our hardest, and hoping that God will overlook the bad bits. Quite the reverse, Gordon says. No. These things, whatever good we think we do, God doesn't even consider. Indeed, the Bible says, all our righteousness is as filthy rags. And if you want to examine that verse in the Hebrew, you'll see that filthy rags is a euphemism. And many people would think what it actually says is quite disgusting. And that's what God thinks of all our efforts to be good. We are not acceptable to God. We are condemned. So how is it Gordon's gone to heaven? Because Gordon believed in a religion of done. Something has been done for us by someone else, by someone who was perfect, by the Lord Jesus Christ, who came into this world and lived a perfect life. No sin was found in him. Never did he say anything wrong. He always spoke the truth. And when he died upon the cross, when he shed his blood, he was being punished instead of us. All our sin was taken and placed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was punished in our place. And all that is now required is that we repent. That's a technical word. It translates a Greek word, metanoia, which means to change your mind. Doesn't mean you've got to run around and say, right, well, I've got to stop doing this, and I've got to stop doing that, and I've got to stop doing the other, and here's a list of all the things I must start doing. You have to change your mind. You have to say, God is right about me, and I'm wrong. The Lord Jesus Christ is my only hope. And I must surrender my life, my heart, my being to him. And it doesn't matter what our background is. We may have been very religious people. We may be the children of those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not good enough. You must repent. You must believe. You must trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. To consider what he said to Nicodemus, a very religious man, a child of the covenant. Jesus said to that man, you must be born again. Not good enough that you've got all this background. You must be born again. You must repent. You must believe. And Gordon, were he standing here, he would say to you exactly what I'm saying now. You must repent and you must believe. And if you do, God will give you peace. God will forgive you all of your sins. Every single one. God will give you peace and joy in your hearts. You will know what it is to know the forgiveness of your sins. You will know what it is to experience a taste of heavenly glory, even here and now in your heart. And you will long, long for that day when you will be in a box like this. And you will know that you will be in eternal glory with the Lord Jesus Christ, face to face, enjoying his fellowship. Never ever to sin again. Looking forward for the resurrection of the body, when my finger that was broken many years ago will be perfect. My ankle, which was broken many years ago, will be perfect. All the things that are wrong about my body will be perfect. And I will never sin again. Gordon had all sorts of problems. He doesn't have those problems anymore. And one day he will have a perfect body. And in that perfect body, he will dwell in eternity on a renewed earth forever with the Lord Jesus Christ. One day I will go and join him. One day many of us will go and join him. There are some here, I know, who we can't at the moment say that of. Gordon wants you to repent and to believe, to discover peace in your heart, the forgiveness of your sins, and to know the glory, at least in part, of what he is now experiencing in all its fullness. Gordon Booth in his life touched a great many people. And we are thankful to God for his life. And we will miss him. But what effect has he had on you? And even in death, what is his effect going to be on you? Will you just say, well, we knew Gordon was a crank and that minister's a crank. And he's saying all this twaddle, but it's water off a duck's back. Until you get to the judgment, and you'll say to yourself, if only I had listened. From the grave, Gordon calls to you to do as he did when he was young, and to repent and to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So that when it's your turn, when you're in the box, and someone is speaking about you, you will be looking down from heaven and saying, I'm glad that I listened to that message. I'm glad I believed as Gordon did. I rejoice now because of Gordon's life, because it has made sure that I am here instead of there. We one day will be like this. Are we ready for that day? Examine your own hearts. Examine your own consciences. And call upon God to speak peace to your heart, so that you know, because you have done nothing more than believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you know that your sins have been forgiven.